We're going to look at Genesis, but you see, that's a good example of prayer, right? She's after one thing. And she goes to Jesus. And she's willing to treat him as a means to an end. We do that a lot. We treat God like a super aspirin, you know, fix me. He's God. Jesus won't let her do that. He loves her too much. So he insults her. Now she has to pay attention to him, not just use him as a means to get her daughter healed. And so she's got to think of how she's going to answer this, you know. We're the Jews and you're the dogs. And you see, it's because she's a Syrophoenician. She's a pagan. And she gets it. Listen, Jesus, the little dogs under the table eat the scraps. Now she's talking to him. And not just, Jesus, whoever you are, fix my daughter. And so he says, because you said this, go home. You're fine. She went home, found the daughter completely freed of any demonic presence. Wouldn't it be nice to go through it? But we have a lot to do and not much time to do it. One interesting thing, both accounts of creation place man and woman at the center. There is no other account of origins from the ancient Near East that does anything like that. Woman is hardly ever mentioned. In the famous Epic of Gilgamesh, Gilgamesh encounters a prostitute and loses his innocence. But that man and woman belong at the center of creation. That's taught by the Holy Spirit to these wise men. And so both accounts have this. This one really develops it. And so it starts. It is not good for man to be alone. Very daring thing to say. Ze lo tov, lo tov. Not good. How many times did we hear in the first account of creation, tov, good, tov meod, very good. Now he says, lo tov. This is a different account, of course. But so the Lord God, see, I will make a suitable partner for him. I wish we could leave it, even if it's awkward, you know. I will make a helper for him who reflects him. Ezer Kunegedo, a helper who is out there reflecting him. That's dialogue, isn't it? That's love. That's what's proper to human beings. And the Ezer, the helper, that's not, as I've said before, you know, that's not do the dishes while I watch the TV. I mean, it's not that at all. Ezer, now, my stats may be a little off, but I don't think so. The word Ezer comes 21 times in the Tanakh and in the Old Testament. 14 of them apply to God. So this is a divine help. Let me give him a divine help out there reflecting him. Do you see how the relationship is described? And it's from God. So, as you just heard, he made all the various wild animals and all the birds of the air. And he brought them to the man to see what he would call them. Do you see how these mystics write? God's going to wait and see what he calls them? Yes, in a way. And Adam has dominion. When you name a thing, you're the boss. You buy a new dog, you bring him home, you call him Fido. He's Fido. Because you told him he was Fido. Adam names, Adam, man, names all the animals. But none was Ezer Kenegedo. No one was a helper reflecting him. Help do what? Help be human. Help have a friend. What good is life without relationship? Even hermits have relationship to the Trinity. I'm trying to point out how deep these texts are. They are the Word of God. Yes, they're old and they're, you know. Okay, but this man is a poet. This is why, as I told you before, John Paul II commented a lot on this text because he's a poet. So the Lord God cast a deep sleep on man, on the man. Tardema. This is what happens later on to Abraham when the brazier of the coals goes through the animals. Anyway, you can get to heaven without knowing that. And so the Lord God then built up into a woman the rib he had taken from the man. Now the rabbis are great here. He said, no, you didn't take it from his foot, like she's his slave. He didn't take it from his head, like she's his master. He took it from his rib, so they're companions. Okay. So then he brings her to the man. And again, the rabbis, blessed the man who has the Lord for his best man. You know, bringing his wife to him. And so now she arrives and he says, Odpa, this one at last is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Now, you're sensitive, you notice this is covenant terminology. Marriage is a covenant. When David was down at Hebron and the people went down and said, you know, we want you to be king. You're our relative. You're our... What did they say? We're bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh. This is covenant terminology. And so, now at last, my loneliness is over. This one is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called Isha because she is taken from Ish. Up to now, he's Adam. Her presence gives him a new name. Now he's Ish, and she's Isha, man and woman. Now that is why a man leaves his father and mother. Can you imagine? Well, we do it all the time, but in a Semitic culture, I mean, even today, the Jews, of course, they're very modernized, except for the ones who come from Yemen and there. But the Arabs, I mean, family? Leave your father and mother. In a way they do, in a way they don't. And clings to his wife. And the two become basarichad, one flesh. What's he talking about? Christ and the church. This is a symbol. Not a symbol, a foreshadowing of Christ and the church. God the Father takes the church and brings her to the resurrection Christ, and they become man and wife. We use the word body, the body of Christ, but it gets to be estranged, you know, the body of Christ, the body of Christ. It's a better word. In Hebrew, there is no word for body. There is a word, guf. But it was never used in antiquity. Today, at the Mass, Guf HaMashiach, this is the body of the Messiah, the body of Christ. But, you see, it's flesh, intimate, not just intercourse, life. There's a place, I got 1 minute, there's a place in Leviticus 18, there's a whole bunch of laws against incest. And how are they described? A man must not approach the wife of his father because she is his flesh. So when we say we're the body of Christ, we are saying we're the flesh of Christ. But this is the foundation. And then last line, both of them were naked and they felt no shame. Unveiled communication. No problems. The word there is and for naked, they weren't arumim. These are the delicate things in this text. The very next one, Hanachash, the serpent was the most arum, from another word, but they sound like each other. You see, he was the most cunning of all. And so then he promises, you're going to be really wise. And what did they find out? They're arumim. They're naked. And now it's a problem. The problem comes through sin. Oh, there's so much more. But we have to quit. But you see how the Word of God is telling us about the very basics of human existence. This isn't a fairy tale. This is a mystic who wasn't there either. But he knows what makes the ground of any genuine human existence. That there be friendship. That, when he's alone, there's no way he can have a friend. He has no friendship. So the help that she brings to him is friendship, dialogue, relationship. Interestingly enough, and then I'll quit, in all the other accounts of origins that we have, some antedate this one by 2 and 3 millennia, man and woman are never at the center. In fact, woman is hardly mentioned. Only in Israel, in the accounts of origins, are man and woman at the center.